Hello, you're listening to Journalism Students Online News Services Podcast for December 16th. My name is Jenny Paluzzi, and this is the Week in Review.
Hello.
Hey, y'all.
Hey, guys. Welcome to
That's Our Jam.
First episode, yo.
Yeah. Our pilot. Welcome.
Welcome to our pilot.
The clip you heard there
is from yesterday.
Yeah, super current. No, it is from December 16th, I guess. 2007.
It has to be seven.
Seven?
Well, I knew you already.
You knew me when I did those? And you still became my friend?
Well, so basically what had happened was Jenny started podcasting a decade ago, and then podcasting became popular.
I did podcasting before it was cool.
And so 10 years later, we're like, let's start a podcast.
And since I have so much experience.
Yeah. As you could tell from that.
I was the first person at Emerson College to podcast. That's true.
Is that true? Did anybody else podcast after you?
Immediately. I mean, I'm sure there's like a hunt.
You started a movement.
Yeah, I did. I mean,
you started the Emerson podcast movement.
I started the whole podcast movement.
Wow.
Yeah, there's an article about it in the Berkeley Beacon. So
did you write it?
I did not write it, but it was very controversial because some other kid on campus claimed he was the first podcaster.
Did you have like he was an quoted in the article? With him?
No, I mean, I just was like, I was first. Bye. So that's in the story, which we'll post on our website.
Just one note about
screaming.
The way you said journalism was like, so like, who are you? You were like pretending to be Ira Glass all of a sudden.
That was my aspiration in life.
Not
really at all. I think my aspiration was to be a real journalist, but this works.
This works. Yeah, this is the closest. Now we have a podcast where we'll just talk about whatevs, shoot the shit.
Mm-hmm.
Hopefully you guys can enjoy us.
I fucking hope so, because
we want to get picked up for another season. Actually, we want to get picked up to series. This is the pilot.
This is our pilot. So,
you know, executives.
Without further ado.
Okay, so since it's the end of June, we're nearing one of America's favorite holidays, Jenny.
It's definitely my favorite holiday. That's a lie. It's not. But it's my second favorite holiday, which is
Thanksgiving.
Yeah, correct.
Thanksgiving, then July 4th.
July 4th.
America's Independence Day.
Because I fucking love America.
Who doesn't?
Probably
foreign people.
Probably people who don't know what it is.
Sure.
But I think it's really important to celebrate patriotism.
Yeah. And I'm assuming you've had some memorable celebrations of patriotism in the past.
I feel like July 4th for me is one of those days I always remember, like, what I was doing. Like, you know how you can always, I don't know, like your birthday, mm-hmm. or probably some other random day in your life, you remember that year every year.
Sure.
But for me, it's July 4th. Like, I feel like as a kid, I always was with my family and we would have a big party at my Aunt Margaret's, and there'd be fireworks and a million kids, and we would be in the pool making those whirlpools or whatever when you know.
Sure.
In the water. Yeah. Okay.
With your legs up?
No. Like, you would all walk around the edge and it would make the whole water into a whirlpool.
You know, I think Filipinos as a culture aren't, or at least Americans, or at least like in my upbringing, not big pool fans.
Not big
swimming fans.
Maybe you're from an island country.
California. This is what I'm saying. I grew up in Western New York. Like,
okay, yeah.
There's
a lake, though.
Sure.
Right? The great one?
Yeah, but it's like cold 95% of the time.
Fair. Okay. Well,
anyways,
we swam in that pool. So we would go to those. And like then when I was in, you know, school, middle school and high school, you're like, oh, it's summer vacation. You like, whatever, go to people's barbecues and shit. And then when we lived out here, we would always go to the beach,
mm-hmm.
go to Dockweiler.
Shout out to Dockweiler.
What? It's where I got engaged.
It's true. I was
not
there.
Not at 4th of July. This is very confusing for me.
haven't been there in a while. Well, I haven't been there in a while.
I haven't been there in months. Sad. We should go today. Mm-hmm. We're going to go right now. No, just kidding. They had that sewage problem. That's neither here nor there.
Los Angeles, folks.
Welcome to L.A. But I also remember one July 4th, I was flying to China when I went to the Olympics. Oh,
that's funny.
Mm-hmm. It was the night of the July 4th, and I was flying out of LAX to fly to Boston to then fly to Beijing with the whole crew.
Yeah.
And I remember because we, well, obviously because it was July 4th, but also because we went up and you could see all the fireworks.
Oh, right. I think I remember you saying this.
Yeah, because I'd always.
I would have cried, but I also cried everything.
It was beautiful. And then it was like this thing where now I was going to the Olympic, which you love.
Oh, my God. Guys, we're like 1 month away from the Olympics.
We're going to cry on the podcast. but yeah, so it was just like really beautiful. Anyways, but yeah, July 4th.
See, okay, the thing, not that I hate July 4th, it's just I don't have specific memories. Like, I have to dig deep. Like, July 4th is...
Does your family celebrate July 4th? Like, do your parents do something?
I mean, celebrate in terms of, like, maybe my dad will, like, grill a few hamburgers outside.
But it's not like you had, like, I don't know.
Right. I feel like most of my July 4th memories are with other people.
Like, not family.
That are not family. Like, yeah. Like when we, like, would go to Dockweiler. Right. Or in high school one time we went to my friend's cottage. That's like, one of the ones that I remember that, like, brings back. So, I don't.
Bringing it back.
I'm not a really good cyclist, biker.
Where is the story going?
Basically, my friend has a cottage off, like, one of these lakes that's near, you know, Rochester. And, we're like, it's like a small town.
Mm-hmm.
And so they had like a cute small little July 4th parade, like in the center of town.
Yeah, like, but like in
order,
fire truck.
Exactly. Mm-hmm. In order to get to the town, we could either walk, drive, or ride bikes.
You even owned a bike?
I didn't. I borrowed my friend's bike.
Sure.
I was like literally like pulling up the rear. It was, oh, that was the last time.
I'm How just far not, was it?
I don't
far
know.
Far enough that it was an
Far enough that I was like, F this.
Yeah, that's terrible.
But like, that's my, like, I don't have. I can't, like, remember.
I remember one July 4th. I want to say it was the summer after our sophomore year of college.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when we had come back from the castle. We studied abroad together.
That's how we lived in a castle.
You probably,
it's
okay, know that.
Don't worry about it.
It's not, yeah. And I was at my friend. I don't know why I was so tired. You know what? I think I was flying back from Italy. I feel like we had this conversation. Mm-hmm. When I was nannying. And I went to my friend Brandon's, like, cottage, speaking mm-hmm. of cottages, or somebody's cottage, and he was there, and, like, a bunch of our other friends. And we were going to watch fireworks, and then the barge, so it was a lake, mm-hmm. so the barge in the middle of the lake caught on fire.
So that, as it does.
So, like, we were waiting and waiting.
Were
and
you
waiting.
Like, is this part of the fireworks special?
Kind of, well, because we were, like, I remember being really tired, but I know, but... Brandon's birthday is around that time, so like I remember being like, well, I really, like, and I just got back, I was like, I want to see everybody and I want to go out, but I was so tired because I was jet lagged, and we're just sitting there waiting. It's like 9 o'clock, 10 o'clock, and the mm-hmm. sun goes down really late in Michigan because of where it is on the line of the,
oh yeah,
so it was like 10:15, and then we realized that the barge was on fire.
And then what?
And then I think there were no fireworks. I think it was really,
oh,
just, yeah,
sad.
Because like they all blew up, I guess. Or like they,
sorry,
they dumped
funny.
It. I don't know.
Was anybody hurt?
I don't think so.
Okay,
I don't remember
great.
There
then
being.
Then we can laugh about
yeah,
it.
Yeah, it was funny. But yeah. Yeah, I always remember July 4th. I'm excited about this one.
Are we doing something?
I don't know.
I might
do you
not
hang
be
out?
Available.
Do
no, it's a Monday, isn't it?
Oh, we're going to ride bikes. It's a Monday.
Why I'm working. I'm working.
You're going to work on the holiday?
I don't get those
You
days
don't get
off.
July 4th off?
We've had this discussion. I literally get... I get Thanksgiving,
okay,
Christmas Day, and New Year's Day off. I work for a British company. Do you want to deliver me like a hot dog?
Sure, I will do that. Do you like a relish?
Sure.
Great. Who doesn't?
Who doesn't like relish? That's our jam podcast at gmail.com. Tell us your relish preferences.
Tell us if you like
your
relish.
Your hot dog and hamburg preferences.
Yeah, do you like a clean dog or like...
Don't say clean.
Or do you like everything, oh, on your dog?
Sorry.
I like everything.
I like all the things on
I
my
like
dog.
I like mustard, ketchup, relish.
What about a doyer dog?
Excuse me?
Doyer.
What is that?
Dodger dog. Come on, bro.
A doyer? Why do you say doyer?
Because it's like authentic to...
The Dodgers completely say their own name wrong?
Listeners, write in if you have a problem with me saying that.
I don't like the Dodgers.
Anyways.
Gotta go.
So.
Baseball. No, that's not our next topic.
No. Speaking of history. So listen, guys, we're just going to be upfront about this now. We're kind of obsessed with Hamilton.
We may or may not practice Hamilton every day, every
we
minute.
We may or may not have practiced it
today
prior to recording this.
Our warm-ups were literally.
Our vocal warm-ups were channeling our inner David Diggs.
And also the Skylar Sisters.
And the Skylar Sisters.
We are obsessed.
We're kind of obsessed. So if we mention it
100 times an episode.
Don't worry about it.
We really love history, too. At least I do.
I like history, but I like more when Jenny tells it to me. Brief recap of my relationship with Jenny. We met, again, we mentioned it before, met studying abroad at the castle that our college owns in the Netherlands. We were both in a history of 1914 class. And
history of the world since 1914.
Correct.
Well, it'd be really boring class, but it was just one year. Yeah.
So, I mean, I understood it fine, but I understood it much better when Jenny would explain it to me. And ever since then, I'm like, Jenny, explain this to me, but like in normal terms. So I'm forcing her to educate us on history.
I would love to educate you guys
history with Jenny.
History with me. So basically, for those of you who know us and already now you know 5 seconds later that we're obsessed with Hamilton. For those of you who know anything about Hamilton, the person or the legend being the musical, it takes place during the Revolutionary War, part of it. And I think for me, it was really interesting. I obviously learned this in school, but I forgot to remember that when we signed the Declaration of Independence, speaking of July 4th, that was not the end of the war. That was basically the beginning. Mm-hmm. So we were, I think it was because I was looking up the presidency of George Washington and when he was president, as one does. And then I realized, like, oh, what the fuck was going on in the U.S. between 1775 and 1785, basically. And so I researched it more, / listened to Hamilton, and realized that there was a lot of shit going down all over the East Coast, and that was the war. So today, because the Revolutionary War is long as shit.
Today, class.
We're going to talk about the Battle of Yorktown.
The Battle of Yorktown. 1781.
So I have with me here a couple things. I have Alexander Hamilton, the book.
Alexander Hamilton.
By Ron. How do you say his last
Chair
name?
Chernow.
Chernow. Ron, if that's wrong, I'm sorry. By Ron. So here's what went down. First of all, Washington was head of the troops at this time. And he was working with, for those of you who don't know, the French. And the French forces and the Americans were kind of, it was kind of a shit show. Like, George Washington had no food, no, like, real money to pay his soldiers, no clothing, no nothing. And so he was mostly relying on the French to give him what he needed to do to get shit done. So it was kind of a catch-22 because here's these American-British mm-hmm. people, and they're trying to take hold of the situation, but they don't really have the power because the French have the money and everything. So it's like kind of they're answering to the French, but also leading. So basically, Washington really wanted to take New York back, but New York, like the French basically were like, it's not going to happen. It's not a good idea. The Brits aren't going to give it up easily. Why don't we just focus somewhere else? So it was kind of serendipitous. The French were at sea and they were coming up from the Caribbean. It was Degrassi, as in the show.
Is that what it's named after?
I mean,
I don't know. I've never watched Degrassi.
C'est possible. So basically, Degrassi was coming up from the Caribbean and Rochambeau, who was the head mm-hmm. of the French, mm-hmm. was like, look, Degrassi's coming up from the south. He's going to keep them at sea. Like, he's going to corner them in Yorktown. And we'll come down from New York and we'll get them by land. And then they will have nowhere to go.
Right.
So we'll surround them. So Washington was like, all right. Like, I this is a great opportunity, even though it's not, like, how I wanted it to go down. So the other book I have with me
is... I just like that you have this other book with you.
Well, I'm reading this one right now, too.
Sure, of course.
It's called George Washington's Secret Six by Brian Kilmeade. I don't know. Again, Brian, sorry if that's wrong. And Don Yeager. So this book is about the secret spy ring, such as people like...
Hercules Mulligan.
And... So basically, Washington was really fucking smart, and he would put out fake news to screw up the British, and he also had spies on the inside who might let some things slide.
He put out fake news?
He would put out fake information so that the Brits would think...
Oh, like to throw them off.
Right. So Degrassi, you got Degrassi at sea, you got Rochambeau on shore.
You got G-dubs on land. You got
G-dubs on land. Hamilton's there. Lafayette is there.
All the boys.
All of our boys. Lawrence is there.
Oh.
Pouring out. So they're all there. And so...
Raise a glass to freedom.
And so basically... they get there and they're like freaking out because all of his soldiers are tired and they haven't eaten. It's wet. Blah, 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 blah. They get down there and they realize that Degrassi got there first.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Which was okay. But this is my favorite part of this book. So it says... So Admiral Degrassi got there... And Washington was worried he wasn't going to show up because, like, he wasn't going to get there in time. And it was the whole fucking plan was going to be ruined. To Washington's jubilation, Admiral Degrassi showed up even before he did. A fact that made the reserved Washington literally jump for joy.
Oh, my God. Can you imagine George Washington?
No. So they're there. They're setting up shop. They finally have all their guns and their ships and their ammunition and their men, and they have some food, and the British cannot do anything. So that's our side of the equation. The other side of the equation, this fucker Clinton, he was a British general, or maybe not general. I'm sorry if that's wrong. British person in charge of the Brits, and maybe not the general. I don't know anything about the military. And... he was in New York and he was like, oh shit, like I think they're gonna go to Yorktown. Okay. So the other guy, Cornwallis, who's like the head of all the British, is like, yo, Clinton, send me some fucking people because I'm about to go under siege.
Right.
And Clinton's like, okay, yeah, I'll do that. And then doesn't fucking send anyone.
Hello?
Straight what up, he just doing? Doesn't send them because he thinks he's being tricked and he was being tricked, but he was thought the wrong way. So he literally sends nobody.
Oh no.
Cornwallis keeps thinking people are coming.
Oh God.
And so the whole thing, needless to say, obviously goes down in history because Washington eventually they get closer and closer. And then he sends his troops out to get the, what's it called? Like there's like these two part, like, again, I don't know military terms, groups of guys, battalions, I don't know. Brigades, some shit.
Battalion sounds more like it.
Yeah. So they're like, oh, you need to go get these guys out of the way so we can build our like trench line or whatever. And so that's when Hamilton takes the lead. Remember if you've listened to the soundtrack or seen the play.
This is a plug for Hamilton needs our help.
Yeah. And it does. And they're like, we're going to go stab everybody with our bayonets.
Yes.
And we're not going to have any bullets in our guns. And so they go out and they... kill up basically this set, kill everybody, and then they can move their shit forward, and then they just take the British, and the British literally can't do anything. They have no options. Yeah, so it was pretty crazy. It was the biggest win for us. I mean, that we kept fighting for another couple of years, but that was like when it was a turning point for the British, for them to understand that like we fucking meant business.
Yeah.
And we weren't gonna like just let it go. Here's like a subplot. We'll talk about this later about like maybe we'll have like a infectious disease thing.
You guys wanna hear about that?
Two quick things. So George Washington was losing people, not during the Battle of Yorktown, separately, in the war, like by droves from smallpox. 17%.
Wow.
And so he was like, fuck, this is a terrible thing.
Yeah.
I need my soldiers to live. I like basically have nobody already anyways. So he inoculated them with like a technique that was not even.
Oh my God. Like not. Okay.
I mean, I guess it worked. Well, it did work because then they went down to like 1%, but it was like not well tight. It's not like today where you'd be like, let me get you a clean needle for every person. So then in the Battle of Yorktown, Cornwallis got really nervous. Obviously, he was losing because you have to realize this started in September 28th and it went until October 19th. So this is like almost a month. It's not like 2 days. So Cornwallis was freaking the fuck out because he couldn't get out. So he literally infected blacks, like black slaves, with smallpox and sent them out to the enemy lines.
How do you do that? How do you infect?
I mean, it's a very highly infectious disease. Some people who came to America, some whites, would give their like blankets and textiles to the Indians who would take them, but they were infected with smallpox, like and on purpose, and then they would die.
Oh no.
So it was like, it had preface in earlier history, if you will. But I wonder if that didn't really work because George Washington troops were already
infected.
Obviously it didn't because we won, but anyways, those are just fun facts about smallpox. So that is the Battle of Yorktown. And that is how we won. Well, part of the reason we won the Revolutionary War.
All right. So our next little segment here is called Ivanhoe Roulette, which we played at the castle. Just know we might mention the castle.
Every minute.
So basically, like on trains or something, we would steal each other's iPods because iPods were still a thing in 2006. I still have my iPod.
It's in my hand now.
It's actually in Jenny's hand, and we're going to do a little iPod shuffle, and I'm nervous about it because I'm going to have to explain why I have ridiculous songs on my iPod.
Are you ready?
Sure.
So are we going to do three?
Yeah.
Okay. Here we go.
I'm very nervous.
Song number one.
Oh, no.
In diapers.
This is not even like, it's the reprise, if you will. Do I have to like explain why I have Seasons of Love on here?
I mean, people might not know you who are listening to this
podcast. Oh, that's true. Welcome. I am.
Also, some of our friends might not know about your.
Oh, sure. Okay. I'm a really big theater nerd. I feel like a lot of my friends in college don't know that because I did a lot of theater growing up, like in. When I was like in middle school and high school,
hard to compete at Emerson College.
Correct. Yeah. I think that was one of the main reasons why I even wanted to go to Emerson because I knew they had a really good theater program. And I knew if I like wasn't an actress, I'd at least be around
good theater.
Good theater. I also worked at a theater in Boston. Shout out to the Lyric. What?
What?
So anyways, I'm a really big theater nerd. And Rent is one of the musicals that like. Fun fact.
Change your life?
Changed my life, which is like so cliche because it's Rent. But I was 14, 13 when I first saw it. And I went with my church youth group.
Oh,
like,
my God.
It was like a field trip to the New auditorium.
York, to the city?
No. I was like on Rent on tour.
Oh.
And it was like the Auditorium Center in Rochester, New York. And it was just a whole bunch of us in our junior high and senior high youth group. And we went as a class. And if you've seen Rent or if you even know anything about it, you know there's like a lot of adult themes in there.
Not really for church groups.
Correct. But we had like We had a chill one. So anyways, I became very obsessed with it. And it kind of like opened me up into this other world of like other cultures that weren't ones that I
things
would,
you were familiar with.
Yeah.
How many times have you seen Rent?
I've seen Rent. I've seen Rent 8 times live.
Tell me about somebody you saw in Rent, maybe named Renee.
Oh, I've seen it multiple times. I saw it One of the last times I saw it was August 2008, which is a month before it closed on Broadway, and. The cast included Will Chase, who is on Nashville, who RIP Nashville. And then this other people. Oh, my God. I'm blanking about who. Eden Espinoza, who was great, who was also in Wicked, who Jenny's like, I have no idea.
I don't know who that is.
Mainly Mimi. Was played by Renee Lee Scoldberry. Again, we're just like tying it back to Hamilton, who is Angelica Schuyler in Hamilton, Tony nominee.
And when.
Oh,
tell them about the picture.
Oh, this is embarrassing. So I was like, we're stage dooring. Oh, Tracy Toms, duh. Tracy Toms was
I was going to say that, but I didn't want you to look stupid.
So. No, thank you. So
that's a lie.
Renee Elise Goldsberry, we like stage doored it, me and my friend Megan, and all I really wanted to get was a picture with Tracy Toms. So, but I took pictures of the other people, like the other actors, including Renee.
J.I.C.
Renee. And like, you can go to my Facebook if you're friends with me.
We'll put this photo on the web.
That's true. We'll do a screenshot of my Facebook album. Yeah. And so my picture is like a creepy picture of me taking it at the stage door of Renee. And it said, like, the caption's like, Renee something or other. Plays Mimi. She was on One Life to Live or something.
So embarrassed.
So fast forward to
now,
8 years later.
We're sorry, Renee.
Yeah, I love you, Renee. I mean, she liked one of my tweets. It's fine.
It's not a big deal.
Anyway, so Rent is a big part of my life. That is the OBC because I don't think they had a reprise. Reprise? I never know how to say that word.
I would say reprise.
Okay.
You probably ask the dictionary.
Yeah.
Readers, write in.
Readers?
Readers? Listeners. That's our jam.
Podcast.
Podcast.
At gmail.com.
At gmail.com.
Okay.
Obviously, I know our email address. Are you ready?
Yeah. Honestly, I have no idea what this is. Ladies and gentlemen. Do you know what song this is? Well,
I mean, you're looking at it. Looking at it. The one and only. There never will
be another. Oh, it's a little Xtina. Is this Dirty?
No, it's the intro to Back to Basics.
Oh, that's how much I've listened to this album. I will shout out to one particular song on this album, Back to Basics album, called Save Me From Myself, which if you're annoyed with Christina Aguilera's like big runs and notes and stuff, listen to a song called Save Me From Myself, which is about her now ex-husband.
Ugh.
It's great. It's like her like singing softly. It's a slow jam.
Oh, we've talked about this.
Yeah.
Should we just play a little samp? If I can get to it, because I'm the slowest person alive. Remember when you had to rotate through?
I mean, I still have to rotate through. Guys, listen. I bought this iPod circa 2007 at the Cambridge Side Galleria in Cambridge, Massachusetts. And it's still, I mean, it's a little wonky, but it still works. I play it in my car all the time. So
easy. Just playing a little Xtina. Loving me. It's kind of like a sexy song. It gets so complicated. All the things you gotta be. Everything's changing. But you're the truth. I'm amazed by all your patience, everything I put you through.
When I'm about to, this is great.
Fall, isn't it great? Like, she's not always waiting her usual self. She's vulnerable.
Shouldn't make a vulnerable album. Christina, if you're listening, do more of this.
Yeah.
/ we love you. Okay, let's go back.
Great.
Are you ready for the number three?
Okay, this is the last one, folks.
Oh, no. What is this?
What is... Wait. Do-do-do-do-do-do. Right? What the... Why the
I'm just
fuck
dancing,
do I
you guys.
Have this?
Can I fast forward?
If you... Is that the song? If You Want My Body?
No.
No! Hot Stuff by Donna Summer? Donna Summer. Does it say an album it's on?
It does.
Is it Kate and Meg's?
It is.
Here, okay. So shout out to Kate and Meg Curtis. Sorry if this is your, you didn't want your last names revealed. So a cool thing they did for their wedding, 2011, I think, is that they, for their favors, made mix CDs.
That's a really cool idea. I love that idea.
And actually, I might be confusing the mix CD. Actually,
I'm so sorry.
I actually might be confusing the mix CD for a separate playlist that Kate sent me later. Mm. Either way, they like curated a playlist for... Oh, hold on. Let me back it up.
Back it up. Back up the train.
Their wedding was at like a campground. So kind of like a, I don't even know how to explain. There's like cabins.
And like Camp Anawano?
Yes, like on Salute Your Shores. And so like there's like an outdoor area where they actually got married with a lake behind it. And then like there's like a main hall where like the reception was. And then anyone who wanted to stay over
could. That is so cool.
It was awesome. Like stay in these cabins. And it was a shit show.
Oh,
like it
no.
was a literal shit show. People were falling down. My friend fell off like a cliff, not a cliff, but he like had this huge he had this huge like bump on his knee. People made out.
People died. No, just kidding.
People didn't die. People got married. It was I took a video in a
they got married and got some.
Yeah, exactly. I took a video in a bathroom. You can actually find this footage online. We'll put it on
the website. We'll put this footage on the website. Also, we're going to start a Spotify playlist of all the iPod roulette songs from Tracy.
Yes.
So every episode we
so
do it.
So you guys can listen.
So you can just.
Because you need a little Donna Summer.
Who doesn't?
In your life. A little always. Hot stuff.
Hot stuff, baby.
That was fun. It wasn't nearly as embarrassing as I thought it was going to be.
This time around.
Yeah, well, you're going to be next.
Oh, God. Okay, folks, so now is a little segment that we like to call. So this is a segment where we talk a little bit about things we hate or love. It's rapid fire style. We do not know what the other person has. And we're just going to ask each other quick, rapid fire, hate it or love it, 5 completely random things about anything.
Oh my God, I'm so nervous.
We will take requests. By email. I don't know sure. how.
Or contact us directly.
Put it in the subject line or tweet at us. We'll have Twitter eventually, I guess. I don't exactly know how we're going to do it, but if you have ideas,
let us know.
Let us know.
Oh, God. Okay.
Tracy, are you ready?
Yeah. Wait. Oh, my God. Okay. So to be clear, the answer is either love it or hate it.
Correct.
Okay.
I'm just going to go through all 5
Let's
and then
do it. Just
I can
do
ask
it.
Follow-ups. Ready?
Pew, pew, pew.
Okay. The North Carolina transgender law.
Hate it.
Cold soup.
Ugh, hate it.
Chicago the movie.
Love it. I don't hate it. Love it.
Navy pants with black shoes.
Navy pants. Sure. Love it.
Love triangles.
Oh, love it if I'm not in it.
Oh, yeah. That was great.
Oh, my God. That would, like, made me sweat a little.
Well, that's great. So you don't like cold soup? No gazpacho for you?
You know, to be honest, I don't think I've ever had gazpacho, but the idea of having cold soup is not appealing?
Appealing to you?
Appealing to
Do
me.
Do you like a smoothie?
I love a smoothie.
So if it was, like, a cold soup, but a juice? Like, if I presented it to you with a straw?
Wouldn't that just be a smoothie?
I guess. But no, like a tomato.
No, 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 no.
Hate it?
Hate it.
All right, fine.
Okay, great. Mine are not as good as yours.
Mine are not maybe, good.
You should have maybe.
I thought of Chicago, the movie, in my sleep last night and woke up and wrote it down. So you're
great. I appreciate that.
I wasn't sure. But
to be clear, like Chicago, the movie is fine. It's just I wouldn't like I actually own it if you ever want. Have you seen it?
Yes.
Okay.
Of course
oh, sorry.
I
didn't. Chicago movie is fine. If Catherine Zeta-Jones is listening to this.
Catherine, come on the show. Be our guest yeah. for guest starring.
Be our guest. Be our guest. Okay, mine are yeah. not as exciting.
Okay.
Okay,
I'm
ready?
Mm-hmm.
For a segment. Hate it or love it. That's 50 Cent is here. 50 Cent? Oh, my
hey!
God. Yo, what's up? What's up?
Glad to be here.
Okay. Okay, ready?
You're ready.
And long walks on the beach.
Love it.
Iced coffee on a cold day.
Love it.
The smell of cigars.
Love it.
When strangers wink at you.
Hate it.
When a rando onion ring shows up in your fries.
Love it.
Okay, wait. You love the smell of cigars?
I do. I do love the smell of cigars. It has to be a good cigar. This makes me sound like a weirdo. When I was in high school, like a lot of the guys in my friend group. What? That's not true. I'm so sorry. I'm misrepresenting you guys who are obviously listening to this podcast. Some of them smoked and it just reminds me of like,
sure,
like good times in high school.
I hate it. It is one of my least favorite, like most hated smells
really?
In the world. That and like gasoline. I hate it. I hate it so much.
I don't
much.
Have an opinion about the smell of gasoline.
Okay.
I just mean, like, I didn't know that you could hate that so much.
Sure. But, like, I just, it just makes me crazy, the smell of cigars.
Fascinating. What about cigarettes?
I'm fine with that. What? I mean, I'm fine with it in the sense that, like, right, if somebody's not smelling, gonna, yeah. Yeah.
Neutral.
Just this, something about the smell of cigars makes me want to vomit.
That's just crazy.
I mean,
it's not crazy. I respect you. I just think, like, it's interesting.
You're connecting it with, like, a memory.
Right.
I have no, like, connection. Emotional connection to cigars besides right. the fact that if I smell them, I hate them.
Interesting. Maybe you should lose your sense of smell and then...
Let's not get into this.
Let's not get into that.
Okay,
it's an inside joke, you guys.
It's an inside joke. You're on the outside. But this entire podcast is a new inside joke.
It is.
All right. So because we're called That's Our Jam, I figured one of the last things we could talk about today is, like, what our particular jams are. Like, what we're feeling, what we're into, what we're digging. Basically anything that we want people to know about at this very moment.
Great.
That's our jam.
It's our jam.
You can't see it, but I'm doing, like, a gun wink situation.
We'll put it on the web. No, yeah. We will not.
We're not doing any of that. There's a reason why this is a podcast yeah. and not, like, a video podcast. Seriously. So my jam is actually going to be another podcast.
What?
I know. Breaking, like, a fourth wall here.
Yeah.
It's the Gilmore Guys podcast.
Ugh. Shout out to the boys.
Shout out to Kevin and Demi. I've listened to podcasts in the past. Like, This American Life and stuff like that. Serial. But, like, I didn't really get back into podcasts until last year around this time-ish. When I discovered that Gilmore Guys is a thing, it's basically these two guys, Kevin and Demi. Kevin is a veteran fan. Demi, brand new.
Like ourselves.
He's like ourselves, word, Kevin. Demi's brand new. He's watching one episode per episode of their podcast.
Yes.
They started, it's almost been 2 years now so because crazy. They started from season one. Yeah, I started listening when they interviewed Scott Patterson, my boy. Oh my God, shout out to Scott Patterson.
Scott, we love
you. Who plays Luke, Lucas Daines on Gilmore Girls, back at last year, 2015, before the reunion happened and before the revival happened. So then, like, it kind of blew up because people picked it up on, like, E! News picked it up that he said that there might be something happening, which was a lie at the time. Anyways, so it's really interesting if you're a Gilmore Girls fan because they break it down from, like, the lens of them being guys without, like, mansplaining it. But it's also, like, yeah. a comedy program. So it's not like they're, like, taking, like, a hard look at, like, you know, everything and without any humor. So it's, like, fun to listen to.
It's hilarious. And the thing that I love about it, too, I mean, now I'm taking over, Jim.
No, it's fine.
Is that they love the show.
Mm-hmm.
Well, I mean, I think
yeah,
I think he's loving it. They have no qualms in being like, this is stupid,
yes.
or like, this was dumb, or yeah. this was the bad, like, plot point, right? Whatever.
And like, that's why I like listening to it, because, like, both of us have been fans of Gilmore Girls forever, and we're yeah. like set in our Gilmore Girls ways. But when you listen to, like, two guys give a different take on something that you're so comfortable and familiar with, it, like, makes you think about, like, just how. Like just a different perspective yeah. on something that you love so much. But yeah, so they, like I said, they interviewed Scott, and they have interviews with, like, Milo Ventimiglia. That's a really good one. Miss Patty, Liza Wild, Paris, Kirk, casting directors, the writers, like, if you're, like, really super into that stuff. But basically, like, I just want to give them a shout out because I'm obsessed with it. Jenny and I and our friend Caitlin have been to a few live shows, and those are awesome.
Like, so fun.
Jason Mantzoukas has been on, Paul F. Tompkins.
It's such a fun time. It's like like laugh until your stomach hurts and you're all there. Like,
yeah.
It's like that type of thing where it's you can make fun of it because you're on the inside.
Like,
you know?
It's your family. Like,
yeah,
so
totally. And it's just so
yeah,
fun to revisit these characters as well, like, so long later, like,
yeah,
just the things they wear.
Yeah, I was just thinking about this because, like, before all this revival stuff happened, before it got on Netflix, like, I could only really talk to you guys, like, my friends, about Gilmore Girls, whereas now I feel like there's a bigger audience for it. And yeah. that's why this podcast, that their Gilmore Guys podcast, has become huge, because like more people have watched it.
Right.
Like,
which
this
is like so cool.
My point is listen to the Gilmore Guys podcast, because that's what got me back into podcasting and essentially like why
we're here
to make a podcast.
Thanks, guys, for getting me a partner.
Yeah.
Okay. So the thing that that was a great jam.
Thank you.
My jam right now, as Tracy knows, and I will never stop talking about this for as long as I live, I'm only like halfway done, but I'm currently reading this book called First Bite by Bea Wilson, and it is about how people are introduced to taste and taste preferences. And originally I started reading it because, in case you didn't know, I'm obsessed with food and like that whole the world around food and culture. But I started reading it because I wanted to just more, I love science too, so I wanted to know more about the science behind it. But as I'm reading it more, it's really interesting because it also talks a lot about like how kids, like basically how kids make preferences and choose what they're going to eat and how easy they are to change.
Yeah.
Which to me is really empowering, because I feel like I have people in my life who are not necessarily kids, but adults that are picky or particular. And the idea that you could help them become more open to different foods is really interesting to me, because I love food and I love introducing people to new foods.
Yeah.
So I am giving a shout out to Bea Wilson and saying this is my jam.
Is it B-E-A, like B Arthur?
No, it's B, like a bee in the sky.
Oh, interesting.
Like a bumble.
We'll put both of those links up on our website.
We will, so you guys will can. And I'm listening to it because I love to listen to books. So I think that listening to it is even more interesting.
Oh my gosh, Jenny, our pilot is like almost over,
nearly done.
I really hope the network execs pick it up for a full season.
We're gonna forward it to Upfronts. Just kidding, that already happened.
No. Oh yeah, it happened in May. We're wrapping this up here. So again, our website is sourjampodcast.com. You can contact us somehow there. Otherwise, you can reach me on my personal blog, cookiesandsangria.com, that I run with my friend Molly. It's cookies like cookies and sangria like the beverage.com. You can find us on the Facebook, the Twitter, the Instagram, and the Tumblr.
All the places.
All the places.
And if you want to check out my recipes and stuff, not pop culture blog, is garlicmysoul.com. And also on Twitter, Facebook, Instagram.
Yeah, and we want to give a special shout out to people who have helped us put all this together. We have a technician that's great. We also Megan Roy, our friend Megan Roy, who did the illustrations for our podcast.
Shout out to Megan. You're the best person. She also does the illustrations on my blog. So
that's true.
You can see them there as well.
And she has her own personal website.
Megan-Roy.com. She does a lot of things, but mostly design. She does wedding invitations. She does illustrations.
She's really good, guys, and we're not just saying that.
We're not just saying that because she's our friend and because she did this for us.
Yeah.
But you should check it out. She also has an Etsy store.
Great. She has great stuff.
Their link is on from her website. And then we also want to thank our friend Steve, who put the music together. That's a jam.
Can I just say that I knew Steve was going to be the perfect fit for this, because when we were doing a photo shoot for Garlic My Soul, the heart cake, he put on TLC Pandora Station, and it literally changed my life. I was like, what?
That is genius.
Every single song on the TLC, shout out to the TLC Pandora Station.
Shout out.
Just 90s.
Jam after jam. Oh my gosh. So Steve put the music together for us, and he was just so helpful and collaborative and amazing. He doesn't have internet. I mean, that's not true. That's not true. But I don't think he has like internet projects. I don't know.
Anyways, shout out to Steve.
Anyways, we love you, Steve.
Thank you so much.
Thank you so much.
And thanks you guys for listening. Yeah. This pilot podcast has been a great time.
And we hope to see you for episode two. Will be coming to a store?
What? iTunes store?
To an iTunes store near you soon.
All right, guys.
Peace.
Bye.
Bye.